Hello, it's Andrew May, and welcome to the Performance Intelligence Podcast, Bite-Sized Edition. This is where we take a clip from a previous podcast and amplify it for you in a snack-sized format. Optimize performance through adapting your physical, psychological, and emotional state. I often say this to people in speaking when they want some advice or, you know, come to the older guy and say, hey, I'm starting a speaking business. What should I teach? I've said this dozens of times. I think you teach what you're good at and you teach what you've stuffed up along the way. So if I look at my story around performance and well-being and psychology, it's a blend of both. So yeah, I was curious, did you not have purpose and connection growing up and you're chasing it? Or did you really have it and you want other people to have more of it?
No, look, I think I fell into it. And if I got to a point in my life where I was going, you know, I feel like I want to give back and I felt like I could contribute, but it wasn't something that mum and dad had instilled in me. And certainly I don't think it really came from school as a culture piece, but that involved with a few groups that people were saying, you know, come and do this walk, come and shave your head, come and grow your mow. And that feeling of belonging, that sense of community around why you were doing it, and the pride, I think, that came from people seeing you in a different light and being able to, you know, say that this means a lot to me and I'd love your support. And I think always being a good fundraiser, an ambitious fundraiser, so taking that opportunity not just to raise a little bit of money, but actually, you know, prove that you can do a lot. And I think that kind of stems back to years before, kind of feeling a bit like people would judge you in the wrong way. And then it's the minute you're doing things with that humility for a cause, it felt like, okay, now people see me. Now people see that I'm genuine and see that I'm committed to things for the right reasons, instead of perhaps judging you a little bit too quickly because you might, you know, carry a confidence and a swagger that, you know, let's be honest, it's probably a little bit of bravado, you know, trying to you know, look like you're more confident than you are. But people would take it, you know, in some cases with that, oh, he's a little bit arrogant. And the minute I found giving to others and being selfless to help others for a very genuine reason just felt, you know, felt like I could and I wanted to, then all of a sudden that perception of arrogance blew away, and that made me stand 2 feet taller and feel a lot more personal pride in what I was doing. And then when you build something like Tour to Cure, the momentum and that connection to so many good people, and those people that kept on investing in me, investing in Tour to Cure, investing in the community, in the idea, and those, you know, every couple of years we'd evolve and who was coming on the journey with us, and they shared the vision and the culture and the values. And that's, you know, that just gives you an incredible sense of pride.
Can we rewind about 90 seconds ago? What could you feel in the room? What was different? I haven't experienced that with you in a podcast or phone setting. I've had it with you on a bike. What changed in the room?
Look, I think there's some things you don't openly share a lot. You know, there was a window of time, and, you know, what was I, 28 to 32? I was working for a good mate's company, and yeah, I had a lot of older people that I was managing. And that ability to, you know, be authentic as a leader, it wasn't there. You know, I didn't have it. I wasn't coming from a, you know, 10-year career beforehand to feel like I kind of got thrust into a few positions that I did feel like I was, you know, bluffing it, faking it till you make it,
fake it till wizard, he said the term. But before I jump down that rabbit hole, what I felt is a shift in energy and you really opening up. Yeah, people thought you were arrogant. People thought you were, you know, maybe a bit ahead of yourself. You're rocking, you're the big rooster coming in. Who's this guy? And for a lot of people listening to this, it's that whole imposter syndrome. You're given a title and then you're like, okay, woohoo, that's great. And then you go away and go, I'm not ready for this. Like, do they really know? I haven't got my shit together. I don't have experience on all this. I had very similar. So one, I appreciate you saying that and being so open around it, authentic, because a lot of people listening to this as well, we've got our demographics, a lot of younger people listen to this as well. So if you are in your 20s or 30s, hey, not everyone has their shit together in that period. And if I had my time back, and I'm sure you do similar, I'd go to some wiser people, not necessarily older, wiser, and say, can you please give me your counsel? You look like you've got your shiz together. What could I learn about that? I did very similar. Can you imagine me at 31, 32, similar sort of personality and energy levels, managing doctors when the business I was in Healthy Business got acquired by Executive Health Solutions. So I'm in there telling doctors what to do in their business. Went down like a lead balloon. And why? I thought, shit, I've got to be someone. I bought a suit, did the big tie up again as well. And I must have been such a dick for some of those doctors who are 55, 60 with all this knowledge. So yeah, if I went back, I'd stick my hand up and say, hey, I don't really know this. Can you help me?
I think a good leader should be encouraging everyone who's starting out in their career to seek out those mentors and the people who they share the same vision on how to be that sort of a leader. Encourage them to learn, encourage them to ask, to spend time with them. You know, so many people want to help. And that's probably the thing that I've seen with Tour to Cure is the amount of people that wanted to invest in the idea, bring the best part of themselves into the equation, and in turn, we all.
Are you planning an upcoming conference or company offsite? For the past 15 years, I've averaged speaking at over 50 events each year, and I still love presenting at conferences as much as I did when I first started. To explore the different presentations I offer on a range of topics and themes, including physical and psychological well-being, becoming burnout-proof, connection and belonging, that's a new area I'm really enjoying presenting on, neuroscience and behavior change, mental skills and leadership and culture. Or if you'd like to understand our fully integrated conference experience with pre-event diagnostics, activities throughout the agenda, including a morning wake up, energy breaks, team building activities, and digital resources to embed learning. To find out more information and to download a brochure, go to andrewmay.com/keynotes.
All become so much better for it. So great people becoming even better through the process. But as a young leader, absolutely, you know, I encourage that 100%. Find someone that you role model.
And I discourage, I'm going back to my hobby horse, that fake it till you make it. I hate that because what it implies is be a non-authentic, really elevated version of yourself. And if you're an introvert, which a lot of people are, introversion meaning you draw energy, being by yourself, then you try and be someone you're not. There's such a disconnect. So rather than fake it till you make it, stick your hand up, ask questions, build confidence. Confidence is doing the work and getting some miles in the bank and then backing yourself. And there's a real difference between faking it. Can I get off the hobby horse now as well? A lot of people, I hear even athletes, oh, I was out there, I'm faking it. No, no, don't fake it. That just sets you up for falling in a big heap.
Spot on, mate. Encourage people to be their true self. And I think that's the part that I feel now. Like my purpose is helping other people to find their purpose. And that's, you know, that gets me out of bed. That gets me, you know, pushing through the tough times. And when you see the results, and if it's one person or a group of people, an organization, a charity that's the beneficiary, you know, the benefits are immense.
Mic drop. That was awesome. There's a huge shift in energy, a big drop, and like not in bad drop, but I could feel it in your voice.
It doesn't come up in conversation. It's not something you openly share. It doesn't. You know, there's you're scared, I think, to...
Have you spoken about this before?
Not for a long time, no. Yeah. And I think trying to understand the why is it that people perceive you as arrogant at the time, but again, not mature enough to really understand the feedback that you're getting. When building something like Tour to Cure and then that sense of vision to a much bigger thing that isn't aligned to someone's pay packet or, you know, the impact of a business's bottom line, you know, that resonated.
Hi again, it's Andrew, and I hope you really enjoyed that episode. We would appreciate if you helped to amplify the Performance Intelligence podcast by sharing episodes with your friends and with your colleagues by going to iTunes and leaving a rating and review. This really does help get the message out to a wider audience, and I love reading the comments as well. If you'd like to know more about booking me as a speaker at your next annual conference or company offsite, or purchasing one of the books I've written, including MatchFit, or if you'd just like to receive my monthly e-newsletter, which is called the AM Edition, that has stacks of information specific to all things human performance, go to andrewmay.com and we'll see you on the next edition of Performance Intelligence.